This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning on YouTube at 9 a.m. and on iTunes and other podcast services at 8 a.m. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopcultures.com/questions. Gives your thoughts, questions, and maybe suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your love for the Pop Culturist on your buddy, head to thepopcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, mugs, phone cases, anything that we can slap our logo onto, we did it. And we should also mention as well that we are on the road to 1,000 subscribers, as we mentioned last week, and everyone on the internet's mentioned. YouTube is doing some really weird shit with its partner program. So if you don't have over 1,000 subs, you don't be part of the partner program. Now, for us, the ad revenue is not the issue.
You don't be part of the partner
program. Yeah, you don't be part of it. That's how it works. For us, the issue is not the ad revenue. For us, it's the issue of something as simple as scheduling videos. That is tied to the partner program. So we just want to be able to schedule videos, man. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, it's important.
It's really important. It's very handy. And it's...
Otherwise, we'll have to be like, you know, if you want to join that PlayStation conversation, you can sometime on Monday.
You can approximately 8:20 on Monday.
Sometime on Monday.
Oh, wait, my friend.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, how's things?
Yes. I had a decent gaming week this week.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
I streamed 3 out of 5 days this week.
I noticed.
And I may be doing it again at time of recording tonight.
What?
Yeah.
Like streaming what?
Sea of Thieves. Cause we've got a beta
code. Okay, sweet.
And I have to do something with it.
Yeah, you kind of do. Let's not talk about that, though. This is a PlayStation show.
But what have you been playing?
I got first plat of the year this week.
What plat?
With Pyre. What a game.
Was it good?
What a game. It's one of those games that... it's going to stick with you for a long time.
Okay.
It's very... the best... I was trying to think of how do you categorize this game into what genre does it fit? And the best I could come up with was a fantasy sports RPG presented as a visual novel.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very, very unique, very, very charming, but very in-depth. Like, really good storytelling. That's Supergiant, too. You know, they're amazing. So much so that I tweeted them when I finished the game, Supergiant. I'm like, fuck, good job. Can't wait to see what's next. And then I tweeted Darren Korb, who does all the music for Bastion, Transistor, Pyre. Just, I'm like, dude, best part about these games is we get more music from you. Because he's really one of the fact that, one, he does the music by himself or composes it by himself. But then these three huge games are done by a 12-person team. Just amazing. Such a good studio.
Yes. See, I kind of fell down the same like, you know, video game music trap, but it's something I've done before. Like, you know, Mick Gordon, the guy that does like Doom and all that. I fell down his hole again. Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, so good.
Yeah, so
I was thinking of one man like doing a killer soundtrack for an astounding game. Yeah.
So it's my birthday this coming Thursday, so I'm gonna get
happy birthday in advance.
Probably the Bastion and Transistor vinyls.
Oh shit! You got my old record player.
Yeah, but Pyre doesn't have a vinyl release yet. But I will get that when it comes out. And I picked up Oxenfree as well, just on a whim. Just kind of browsing the store, $6 down from 20. I was like, sure. I want to play more indie games this year. It's kind of my goal is to play a few more indie games, and I have already with Pyre, Matterfall, Oxenfree. Now this Celeste game that just came out is meant to be fucking gangbusters, getting 10 out of 10s everywhere and all that. But Oxenfree is like a visual novel. But it's like a psychological thriller.
Okay.
You and a few friends are on an island. You went there to party. She brought your character brought a radio, and you tuned into some weird station that opened a portal and ghosts and stuff. But you don't see much in terms of like, you know, whoa, that's scary. It's all up here.
Okay.
I nearly finished, I think. Yeah. The story's told very well. Very believable characters. You know, they're written by teenagers, by adults for teenagers as teenagers, if that makes sense. You know, it's just very believable dialogue between the characters. My only gripe is traversing the environment can be kind of slow, but I think we've also kind of been conditioned that as the protagonist, we fucking leg it full speed everywhere at the same time. Whereas these people, they're just walking and talking, and you got to kind of sit back and be like, you're not rushing from A to B to get it done. It's the dialogue in between that's also adding to the story. So, really good. And then, of course, Monster Hunter Worlds, but we'll get to that in this show's feature.
Now, speaking of spooks, I've been playing The Inpatient. Our review is available on the channel. We'll need to do a link thing. Those little like recommended shit that comes up on the screen.
Annotations.
Yeah, we'll do some of them. Where's an annotation for the review? You go check it out.
Well, you'll have to do that because I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'll have to work it out. We'll just suss it out. we're playing The Inpatient. So thanks to PlayStation Australia for sending us a code for that. My fourth credits for the year. Very nice. The game's really good, and it's in the real. I'd say it's good in a couple of different ways. Like, I enjoyed the atmosphere of it. So, now there were some things that I did get wrong in the review that I want to correct right now. First things first, the game isn't about 4 hours long, it's about two. I think I took about three because I was just searching everything. I was like nook and cranning that bad boy.
Yeah.
So my mistake there, I've oversold that. And the other thing I failed to mention in the review, which is incredibly important, is it's got voice recognition. So when you're talking to a character and there's dialogue options, there's left or right, you can, with the microphone in the headset, you can say the dialogue option and it goes bloop.
Did the game tell you that?
Yeah, the very start. Okay. It's like, hey, we have dialogue options, you just read it.
Then you got a spook and forgot everything.
Read the one you want. Yeah. So when we're doing the review, I was like, the one thing I forgot, because it's oddly intuitive, because I'm like, because I would find myself not just reading it like blandly. I would like put some inflections and shit on it for fun, especially when I'm being a jerk.
I want to investigate the corridor.
I'm like,
I'll take the corridor for 300.
I'm like,
thanks,
what do you mean? Rather than just being like, what do you mean? I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm guessing the two, whatever dialogue options presented, are different enough that even if you had a thick accent or something, it's still based on syllables or something. It kind of
picks up keywords.
Yeah, keywords or amount of syllables said in the sentence or whatever as well. Yeah,
cool. So like, what are you doing? Like, you can kind of slur what you together.
How are you
like,
doing? Doing? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing.
G'day.
Like, all right, cool. Yeah. Picks it up. And it's, I've never only like once, twice. I had to say it again to really trigger it, and then it's gone. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, you wanted that one. That was really good. Same thing, really slow and sluggish. You don't run at all in the game, which is kind of a bum, because like, the game would be better if you could get a little bit of a sprint, because it's like kind of just dawdling around.
Yeah,
just kind of it adds to the suspense in certain moments, but other moments it just kind of pains you. And as I said in the review, like I had quite an abrupt ending, and I was like, okay, that's really dumb. And then I checked the trophy list, and there's 10 other options that I didn't do. I'm like, oh shit, okay, I've missed some big steps here.
So it may only be 2 hours long, but the replayability is quite
high. Like, I was in a group that I'm a part of on Facebook, someone was talking about they've got the platinum for it and it took them 6.5 goes. I'm like, wow, I'm not playing it that many times. But because I thought about it, I'm like, maybe I can get the plat, because I got most trophies on the first run. I'm like, can I get a plat for the year? Nah. But no, I had a lot of fun doing it. It was good to get the PSVR out again.
So you're already at 4 for the year.
Yeah,
I'm close to 3. I've got Pyre. Matterfall is just one level. It's just the last boss. I can't do it. I can't beat the boss. That's the only thing stopping me from seeing the credits. And Oxenfree, I think I've only got probably about an hour left on it. So I'm nearly at 3.
Yeah. So what am I at now? So I've got Firewatch, God of War, South Park, and The Impatient.
Yep.
And hopefully I'll have, because we're getting to the game in the main discussion, but Shadow of the Colossus, the review will be out on Tuesday. Obviously I'm going to want to get that credits through before review. So
I looked it up on How Long to Beat has become one of my favorite websites.
Yeah, it's a good site.
Just before I buy a game, like Oxenfree, make or break for me, because we got Monster Hunter. If it was 10 hours plus, wouldn't have got it, but it said average 4 to 5 hours. Cool. Shadow of the Colossus said it was about 9.5, 10.
I've already put like 3, so I'm not too bad. We'll get into that. But yeah, I'm with Monster Hunter, I've just given up already. I know I'm not going to finish that fucking bad boy.
Nah.
So
can you though?
I imagine there's a main story through.
There's a main story. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what we've been playing this week. So let's head into the news of the week Let's head into the section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about the PlayStation news that's happened this week.
5 bits of news this week. Pretty quiet week, really. Not too much going on. Everyone's too busy playing all these games
that came out last week. It's quiet, but some big shit happened.
Number one, Sony has announced that God of War will be released for PS4 on April 20, 2018. Very cool. In a post on the PlayStation blog, director Corey Barlog announced the date and called the date his, quote, favorite release day of my entire career. If I live to be 100, I do not think I will be able to top this release day, 420 Blaze It. He didn't say that bit, but I'm guessing that's what he was referring to. The news comes alongside a new trailer featuring Kratos and his son Atreus, along with new locations and insight into the game story.
Woo! All right, so I have a story with this, right? So on Monday when I had my daddy day, we went down the shops and I was like, fuck it. But the announcement's got to be coming soon, because with the Stonemasons Collector's Edition that we saw last week, I'm like, I'm gonna get my pre-order in, because that way when that does get announced here in Australia, I can just go bing and just move it straight up.
Yeah. When they announce a Collector's Edition, you can guarantee the release date is coming very soon.
Or it's the same time normally.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. But if they haven't done a date yet and there's like, here's the Collector's Edition of 2 weeks max.
Yeah, so I'm straight in. I'm like, cool, I'm going to pre-order the standard edition, and I pre-ordered a couple of the Totaku figures as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I want them up here. Yeah.
Did you watch the new trailer?
Yes.
I did not. I'm on my lockout period now.
So go to bed. I think which is a Tuesday we got told? Wednesday?
Don't know.
Either way, I woke up at 4 in the fucking morning because my son decided to have a cry and wake up.
Mm.
So we've got Millie, so my wife and I just freaking out. So Millie and I went up and looked after him and came back, and then I laid down like, oh, I just had this urge to look at my phone. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, is this an addiction?
Yeah.
No, it was a calling.
No, it's
because
an addiction.
Within 5 minutes... So as I said, I looked at my phone.
Confirmation bias, that's what it's called.
Oh, totally. So 5 minutes ago, God of War release date announced. I was like, Brizzy! And he's like, what? I'm like, don't worry about it, it's important.
You won't care,
You won't care, go to sleep. I was very happy. And then the next day I rang the local EB Games and I was like, hey, can you bump it up to whatever?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't watch the new trailer. I'm on my lockout period. Yeah, now. I've seen enough. I know I want it. I don't need to know anymore.
In the same as you, I was like, I can't. I'm going to buy the game anyway, right? So like, why does it matter if I watch this trailer? I'm like, I want to see how good it looks, and it looks fucking fantastic.
But we knew that already, though.
Yeah,
you know?
and it's a little scale back from like the original E3 relation, that one shot. Like it just. Kratos still looks great, but that's clearly a vertical slice. It's a bumped up to like 11. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A bit more texture dense in the world. And like everything's a little bit better than it would be, but it still looks fantastic. There's no real major spoilers. It's just sort of touches upon the idea of like, if Kratos is a god, does that, you know, what does that make Atreus?
Like, demigod.
He's a demigod. Is he half human, half god? Like, and
it depends who his mum is, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And then the whole kind of the conversation along that is along the lines of, if he doesn't know that he is in fact a god or a demigod, what does that mean? Because there's a conversation where he's like, you haven't told him, have you? You know, you haven't told him about your past, your history. And then there's a conversation of like, you can't kill a god. And he's like, well.
Yeah.
On the one that he's like, you know, you do not want to pick a fight with a god. He's like, why? How do you know? He's like, well. And there's a nice little bit of humor in there as well, which I thought was a cool little touch. And it makes me excited to see where this is going towards, rather than the big dude bro super fest. Deep and
angst. He's still got humor from that too, though, just in a different way. Yeah. Not like punchlines or anything. Just he'd say something so over the top and ridiculous that it's funny. I'm pretty much for all of Sony's first party games, which may or may not be releasing this year, I'm on lockout. I know what I want. I know what I don't want. A trailer's not going to sway me one way or another. So I just found in the last year I've just been enjoying things more by watching like the launch trailer, or the initial trailer, and going, cool.
And I think you're spot on. Like, it is certainly the best way to do it. And I had the exact same moment of thought, and I was like, it's not going to be too bad. And it didn't. Like, it didn't give me too many spoilers. But if there's any other trailers between now and then, cool. Also, we should mention, we kind of nailed it, dude. We were like, okay, it's probably going to be April. So 3 months. That was my little touch. You were like, it's not going to have like an announcement. It's just going to drop in a trailer on the blog and it'll be done. Fucking nailed it, dude. We know what we're doing sometimes.
Some would think we might have inside sources.
Some you would
we
think.
Don't.
Some would think we actually may be okay at what we do. Yeah. Maybe.
But we're not.
Not really.
Number two, more on this first party stuff. Quantic Dream also confirmed that Detroit Become Human will be releasing in the US spring 2018. over there. Spring 2018 begins on Tuesday, March 20th and ends Thursday, June 21st. So there's a pretty decent chunk of time to make our guesses. That said, with God of War coming April 20, you'd think that they'd want to distance them as far as possible. So I'm going to say it's going to be as close to the end of June as possible.
Yeah, I'm
not... definitely no chance it's going to be before. Not a fucking chance at this point for them to be like, you know, oh yeah, Detroit's coming out in March. Like, it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen at all.
No, so... March is nothing at this point, I'd imagine. You know, you've got April, you've got God of War, May. Like, I'm thinking late May, early June. Mm-hmm. Enough to give a month's window, and just before E3, because you want to drop it during E3, it's kind of a silly idea.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit before. I'm going to say late May, early June.
Yeah, Sony...
I'm banking on late May.
There was a quote from Sony sometime last year where they said, any game that they've shown that has a 2018 window will be in the first half of the year.
Which is interesting because...
remains to be seen. Spider-Man, Days Gone. Did Days Gone get a window or not?
Side note, what I want to do is I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and every sort of games podcast, like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting, rather than using other words. So, like, I'm trying to actively avoid saying that's interesting.
You have so many words in your vocabulary you try to avoid saying.
Yeah, because it's
just, every it's week or something else. I watched this video and I heard someone say this four times and now I can't say that.
Yeah, because
word
like
ever
it, to me, it just it's if three different shows all say the same shit, I'm like, well, that makes us, that's an echo chamber. Like, I don't want us to be an echo chamber.
Where were you going with this?
So the whole idea is like, it's fascinating that, you know, because with the 2018 thing, right? So would that put Spider-Man in June? Because that was given the 2018 slate. I personally, think it'll be like October or something, yeah. But...
remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Number three, we're getting to some delays
No updates on the controversy from last week?
No.
Okay.
Nada. Pretty much. It'll all be, like, I think, under-the-table discussions at this point.
Yeah.
Number three, delays. BioWare is reportedly focusing the majority of its team from both its Edmonton and Austin studios into its upcoming game Anthem, online open-world multiplayer RPG announced at E3 2017. According to a report from Kotaku, sources close to Anthem place its release date closer to early 2019, citing the fall of 2018 release window is unrealistic. Pressure to launch before the end of EA's 2019 fiscal year makes a delay beyond March 2019 less likely, sources called Kotaku. IGN also reached out to EA for further comment. Over half a dozen people close to Anthem spoke to Kotaku about the pressure surrounding the project, which has allegedly been in development since 2012. According to Kotaku sources, recent industry controversies, noticeably the backlash for Star Wars Battlefront 2 loot box progression system, and Bungie's overhaul of its 2018 plans to address negative feedback from Destiny 2 community, has placed pressure squarely on the Anthem team to produce something great. I feel bad for him. I really do. You know,
yeah.
All eyes are on Anthem now because, you know, EA is a big shit show, and we've shown in the last 6 months that, you know, gamers as a community are pretty much at tipping point with bullshit, you know, all this microtransactions and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's been a lot of pressure on the Anthem team. And for EA to be like, and for them to say they're feeling rushed as well is also quite tally.
See, it's not new news for EA to rush out an incomplete game. Like, so that part, I'm like, all right, I'm not too surprised. But my real question is along the lines of, okay, so they've clearly had this structured model of microtransactions, right? EA have released Need for Speed, littered with microtransactions.
Every sports game.
Star Wars Battlefront.
All the sports games,
like FIFA and Madden and
apparently
NBA.
They made 600.
That's NBA 2K. My apologies.
From whatever Ultimate Team is, I'm not sure, but I know it's a thing. They made $600 million in microtransactions alone from Ultimate Team last year.
You know, and then apparently the UFC game, which is an EA game, is just as broken with microtransactions.
Yeah, UFC games are always just broken. I mean, you look at all the clips.
I remember the first one, UFC Undisputed.
And they all, like, you know, you put them in like a headlock, but then, like, they'll elbow them in the back of the head, but the elbow will wrap around their own head. So, like just wacky things happening in that game.
I'm wondering whether they've gone, they had, like, Anthem had this big microtransaction plan, and they've gone, all right, bring it on back. Or they're just going to be like, fuck you, double down.
Yeah, well, Anthem will be intriguing to watch play out because it really is the...
Last use of intriguing instead of interesting.
Make or... Not make or break, because EA is not going to break for a very long time, but it could be the game that makes everyone not get back on EA side, but be like, okay, they're not that, you know, or maybe they're listening, or, you know, it could be the game that comes out and it's just fucking amazing. There's no microtransactions. There's tons of content.
That's unlikely.
You know, it's unlikely, but it could be.
I like your optimism.
You know what I mean? I like to say optimistic, even against EA. But yeah, unfortunately, like what happens, this is something I want to talk about in another topic sometime, is that all the hate that these companies get, Konami, EA,
Activision,
sure, the hate is deserved, but the teams working on the games also deserve their work to be recognized.
This ties in what we said last week with Quantic Dream and how, like, you know, we
so, you know, it's
hate
like,
the artist, love the art.
You know, boycott this, boycott that, and, you know, it's a hard thing to kind of go around because, like, yeah, you don't want to buy the product to give the company money, but you also want the people that just want to make a good fucking game, you want them to get their due diligence and be like, you know, you did, like, your part of what you made in this is fantastic.
They get their reward.
You know, it's graphically amazing. You know, the UI is great. The music's awesome. And it's all overlooked by, it has a loot box system in it. And I don't know, I want to go in depth in that at some point because it's kind of a hard line to,
yeah, I'd love,
you
know, to talk
sit either side on. But yeah, I wouldn't expect Anthem this year anyway.
Yeah,
if Anthem releases this year, I'd wait on buying it at launch because it'll probably be a shit show.
Yeah, I'd be very baffled if it releases this year.
Number four, it looks like the popular vehicular soccer game Rocket League is set to see cross-platform party support in 2018, building off its cross-platform play functionality. When asked on Twitter whether the feature was coming, the official support account for the game replied saying, "We're actively working on cross-platform party support for 2018 release." I'll kind of skip through the rest of it. More cross-play support is no surprise, as Sonic's Vice President Jeremy Dunham told IGN last year at E3, quote, "I think without cross-network play, you're almost holding back the advancement of games in a way." With its reveal on Switch last... What the fuck am I doing? With its reveal on Switch at last year's E3, Psyonix has opened up cross-play among Switch, Xbox and PC. As of August last year, Psyonix said talks were still ongoing with PlayStation to allow for cross-party play with other consoles. So what they're looking at doing is... you know, you log into your Xbox Live or your Nintendo account or whatever, and then you will probably automatically log into a Psyonix account, a Psynet account, and then you use that user interface in the game
That is absolutely
perfect. Yeah, it's
perfect.
That's amazing. It's great.
They talked about one of the biggest problems. If I remember right, the conversation on the line was like, we don't want someone logging in on an Xbox.
Yeah, you don't
want
to be playing Rocket League on your Switch, and then, I mean, Nintendo wouldn't want to see the Xbox logo flying across their screen, yeah? So this is a perfect solution to it. Very cool. I imagine the netcode's going to be quite fast, like trying to get that going.
My only issue is this, you know, it's another fucking launcher that I have to have an account to. Like, I've got Uplay, I've got BlizzNet, you know, or I've got like...
I get all that, yeah. But this is a unique kind of situation too. Yeah. It's like, you know, you don't need to log into PSN and Psynet to play Rocket League. It's just, you know, if you want to
use your PSN,
you use your PSN as a, but if you have friends that want to that play on other consoles other than PlayStation at the moment, it is an intuitive way to get around the netcode barriers that would be there.
Yeah, and PlayStation is still just like, yeah, no,
it'll happen.
And that's fine.
It'll happen
one day.
It'll happen, but it will happen. Number five and last bit of news for the week. Ooh, there was no top-selling games early this morning when I had a look. Compulsion Games has announced We Happy Few will be released a bit later than originally planned. The title, which was previously slated to launch on April 13th this year, will now be released on PS4, Xbox One and PC sometime this summer.
What date this year?
April 13th.
Oh man, that's a huge...
Compulsion Games also released a new developer video that offers a peek into the game's second playable character, Sally, and outlines what else is ahead for We Happy Few.
Still not up.
Yeah. The eerie survival adventure set in a drug-addled dystopian 1960s England needs some additional time for polish after Compulsion made substantial changes to improve the first 2 hours of Arthur's story. Thanks to the studio's partnership with Gearbox, the scope of the crowd-funded roguelike expanded to feature a full story-driven campaign with over 250 different encounters and 3 playable characters, each with their own backstory. There's a lot of backstory to this game, really. I mean, you could look at it as a Kickstarter success story or as a Kickstarter failure, in the way that it was, you know, everyone that put their money into it was based on it being this cool-looking, you know, indie title. And then, of course, it gets picked up by Gearbox, and then it gets put up to AAA pricing. It gets collector's edition. It gets pre-order bonuses, and it gets all the sprinkles.
All the garbage that comes with it.
All the toppings for that wee happy cake. You know what I mean? And, you know, the more I hear about it, the less I'm really interested.
I agree.
I wasn't interested initially. I did see the original Kickstarter campaign. I had a look, because every now and then I'll just jump on Kickstarter and just browse, just see what's going on. Never Kickstarted anything, but, you know, I'm poor. When I first saw it, I was like, that's interesting. And then, you know, it's Gearbox picked it up, and I'm like, oh, you know, that's really good for them. And then the more and more that comes out about it, I'm like, oh, I'm probably just not going to.
Yeah, the same thing. I was sort of intrigued by the idea of this, like, well, what does that mean if it's this big independent game that's now AAA? Like, okay, what's this?
Like, it's not an indie game.
It's all well and good. Like, does that change the scope of a game? And clearly it does by the looks. By having it come out like almost a year later, like, or into the next calendar year at least, that's a bit of a delay.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not 2 or 3 days.
I'm just getting the feeling that they may have expanded their scope a little bit too much, a little bit too fast. Like, you know, we have publisher funding, you know, now we can do everything we wanted to do, but maybe they've kind of pushed it a little bit too far. And instead of getting a really tight 20-hour game, we're going to get a really, what's the word I'm looking for?
Loose,
messy 20-hour game because they've tried to fit all this extra stuff. We don't know. We'll wait and see. But, yeah, I know a lot of people are keen for it, and the delay is always disappointing. But, you know.
Yeah, I think Jess was quite keen, remember, right?
Yeah, that's it.
This is where you do the segue. You can never remember.
I don't remember it. That's it for the news in Inform the Players this week. Now we're going to chat to the players about Monster Hunter Worlds and Shadow of the Colossus with our first impressions.
Yes. Which one to kick off with first?
Go Shadow of the Colossus first.
Cool. So thanks, PlayStation Australia. We've been given very lovingly early access to Shadow of the Colossus. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the remake from Bluepoint. So it's coming out February 6th.
I'll look it up while you talk.
Yeah, so it's the ground up remake from the PS2 classic Shadow of the Colossus. Think.
Yeah, Feb 6th.
Nice. Think Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy remake. Exact same game. Just everything about it just pumped
same,
up.
Same treatment, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played Shadow of the Colossus?
I have not.
Me either.
I didn't, and I did download it, the remake now, but with Monster Hunter, for me, at that point in the week, it was one or the other, so yeah. I chose Monster Hunter.
Yeah, so I streamed it for about 2 hours, and that was the first time I ever played it. The game is fine. It's visually stunning, without a doubt. Like, it is stunning. Bluepoint are without a doubt one of the best remake factory. Like, the remake come, like, it's what they do, and they fucking kill it.
Hopefully they're doing it with Medieval.
Oh, I'm hoping like Siphon Filter or something.
No, because we know Medieval's coming,
give me Metal Gear Solid 1 remake, or give me Siphon Filter.
Metal Gear the Collection.
Ooh, yeah, like, yeah, bring all the PS2s to PS4. That's what we need.
Does it control like The Last Guardian?
Yes and no. Like, the controls are a little jank, but there's a number of different controller schemes. I picked whatever was like the modern one, and it's still not quite perfect. It's a little bit fucked. I got all the controls mixed between getting on the horse and moving the horse forward. And the horse has kind of a base, like a little bit like Trico, in terms of it just does what it wants. You kind of tell it to go one direction. It's like, okay.
Take shit first, and then
yeah. So remember when you climb Trico, you have this weird sort of climbing mechanic where it's real kind of just fucked.
It's supposed to be dynamic,
yeah,
right? But it just becomes infuriating.
Yeah. So climbing the Colossus has the same animation. So you can clearly see where Last Guardian should have been a PS2 game. But because of that, I kind of give it a little bit more of a, not a little leeway, but I'm like, all right, cool, you're clearly a remake of a PS2 game. For better or worse, this is a remake of an old school game. There's another podcast, I think, explained it perfectly. This game is a sandbox with not much sand. Because there is a giant open world where you, in order to get to different colossi, but there is just nothing.
Nothing else?
Yep. In between that shrine and that colossus is just nothing.
But does fighting the colossi, Is it fulfilling? Is it cool? Is it, like, how long does it take, for example? Like, is it a good, like, you know, 10-minute struggle to kind of get this done?
Like, the first two were pretty easy. Third one kind of just jumped, like, difficulty spiked really high because I'm shit. And as a gentleman named Eric in the online live chat was like, stamina bar, you idiot. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I was playing Monster Hunter and he came back and he said the exact same thing. I'm like... This guy knows.
Yeah,
so that was the only downside. I kept throwing me sort of off with the third guy. And then I just started the fourth.
Does it feel cool though?
Like, oh my god.
Like visual, because like, you think, you know, I don't know what was first, God of War or...
I think Shadow of Colossus was first, and God of War, you know, clearly got that inspiration.
You get the inspiration to climb the giant creatures with quick time events. Yeah. And then it's this just visual, like, orgasm of just awesome shit happening. It's like, is it like that?
It is a little bit. It is cool to sort of like break it down and then be like, all right, cool. Well, how do I get onto you? And then what? You know what I mean? I'm not seeing a whole lot of story at this point. The kind of sets up the idea of you're this guy called the Wanderer and you have your girlfriend who's dying or dead and you need to bring her back and you want to bring her back. So you have to go and kill the 16 colossi and then something will happen and it'll bring her back. So okay. Up until this point where I'm some of the fourth colossi, it's like, okay, like I'm just going from one to the other, one to the other. It's like, okay, you've taken down the next one. You come back to this little shrine thing and it goes, the next one lives by the seaside. You're like, all right, well, seaside's over there. Da-da-da-da. And one cool, like rather, because there's no UI.
Mm.
Oh, there's small UI. There's like your health bar and that's about it.
Such a big contrast from Monster Hunter.
Yeah. So... in order to get around the world, what you do, rather than like look at a map, is you hold your sword up and it reflects the light off it. And it actually kind of like spreads. And as you're getting close, as you pan to your destination, it kind of locks and zooms in. So you go, I've got to go that way. Sweet. And then you just go that way.
It's like a light compass.
Yeah, light compass, pretty much. Yeah, this is that. And then you just fang over this big ass open field. Like, it, in this version, it looks stunning. Like, open fields are full of cool grass and, you know, leaves and birds and
foliage.
You know, and flora and fauna. But in PS2, I'm like, this would look like rat shit. This would look like a bland nothing.
Mm.
And I, you know, to give you the illusion of a bigger space, but it really isn't. Like, so obviously, you know, we're still in the preview phase. We can't give our full review out until Tuesday. But from a preview perspective, like, I don't quite get the hype and why everyone loves it. I think it's very nostalgic driven.
The product
like
of
if
its
you,
time.
Yes,
yeah?
If you played it in PS2, you'd be like, whoa.
Exactly. If you played it when it first came out and it was, you know, relevant and you were 12 or younger, it would have mind blown you. Yeah. But at this point, for people that haven't played these type of games before, we've seen enough
and
through our gaming lives and better that it just... It'd be like we were talking about it when we played Metal Gear Survive. I said, I haven't played... any of the Metal Gears, and to go for me to go back and play them now,
tough sit.
It'd be a tough sit, and I wouldn't like it.
Mm.
And I don't. Maybe a remaster might help that, or a remake if it got this kind of treatment. I don't think it would though, because product of its time. I think it's the best.
I think Metal Gear would hold up better because it's all about it's very story driven, where this is very much just a technical achievement at the time.
Yeah,
and look, still really cool. I'll finish it, but I don't think I'm going to love it like everybody else does.
Nice, that's honest fine. Thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Monster Hunter.
Keep an eye out for that review when it comes on Tuesday. It'll be me sitting here by myself again
because
we, you know, busy and shit.
Back to school next week.
Hey! Mm. Maybe you can rock up on midday, like sometime Monday.
Monday? No, because they go back on Tuesday.
Ah, God,
teachers go back Monday to get all the shit ready, and then students on Tuesday. So, Monster Hunter.
Yes. So big thank you to Capcom and Kat and the team.
Mm-hmm.
Big thanks. So we got it a couple of days early. I wasn't able to really tackle it until the day before release. I streamed for a couple of hours, gave it to you, and then I went and bought it.
You didn't get enough of it to like fully kind of...
Yeah, I'm like, I need more and I want to play it and it's got cool multiplayer.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah. So, I put in at this point probably... six
cool, you've done
hours?
Double of what I've done. Yeah.
For the first 90 minutes, I did not like. Did not like. I haven't played any of the Monster Hunter games. And it the typical kind of, you know, Japanese RPG thing of like, here's all the information in the world ever. And it was just a mindfuck of this and then that. And it's like, here's how you craft. And then here's how you change weapons. That's the canteen for food. And then the monster parts. Go on a quest. Come back. We'll give you the next one. You got a time limit for this one, though. And it's like, what the fuck is happening? About hour three that it kind of it started to click.
Mm.
When I unlocked the expedition mode.
Free mode.
You can, instead of taking a quest to kill a monster and going to do it in a time limit, you can just go out in the world and dick about. And that's when I kind of got my bearings and I was able to sit and muck around with the crafting menu and everything. And that's when it kind of started to get me. And now it's getting better the more I play it. The more comfortable I get with it, the more I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a Pro. I've got the most recent release of the Slim. Or the, I don't know if Slim had multiple. Didn't?
The Slim is the Slim. The Slim is the exact same as the old PS4.
I got the Slim. Yeah. And I have had no frame rate drops so far, and I've had a lot of shit going on that screen. It's nice and deep and vibrant.
Yep.
The environments are just packed with just foliage. Flora and fauna. So it's a really, to just step back and look at the environment, how dense it is, it's just really beautiful. And you see, you know, all the monsters just kind of going about their day, whether you were there or not. You know, they've got their paths, they're eating, they're, you know, making babies, pooping, and then the T-Rex comes out and eats the baby and they all run away, and it's like, ah, this is beautiful. Just watch this baby get fucking massacred. It's like,
nature.
Nature is lit. But it is, it's a really beautiful world. And even like your avatar, you look like such a fucking badass, man. I've been mucking around with crafting like different armors. What I really enjoy about the hunts is, you know, you kill a certain amount of type of monster to get their specific parts, and each monster has its own armor set you make using their body parts. So very unique looking sets. So like the Jagras, the little like yellow lizard things, you know, if you get enough of their parts, you can make the Jagras set, and you kind of, it's got the same color scheme and the
big,
same
big
like
feather,
yeah, you know.
And I've got the chest piece.
Apparently, every single monster in the game has its own set that you can make. They're all very unique looking and everything. So I tried to kill the big T-Rex. I'm like, I bet you'll have like frill necks or something. Yeah, one shot me.
The shit out of you, yeah.
No, okay. The hunts are long, and I love it and I hate it because if you fail, it's like you've wasted all this time. Yeah. So I was in expedition and I found the big T-Rex. I'm like, just try it. What have I got to lose here? 15 minutes, I'm like dodging it and I'm like on its back and I'm fucking hacking into its neck and it falls over.
Do you take much dent out of its health?
Well, they don't have health bars.
Oh.
None of the monsters have health bars. You visually see
it. Yeah, I was saying, did you visually see it sort of lose its
no. Okay. So about 15 minutes I was fighting it and I chase it to another area and then it was fighting another monster. I'm like, I'm going to get a few sneaky hits in its back and its tail goes... just like slams me into the ground.
Like a fly. Yeah. You're an inconvenience
to
this T-Rex.
Yeah, just fuck off. And yeah, like one shot me here and then I was like, oh, okay. So I felt like, see, I don't know, I'd imagine, because then if you die, you get wheeled in a cart like to whatever the closest camp is. So I don't know, I'd imagine they stay at the state they are in. Like they don't regen the health if you die. But I don't know. I found it, I was just like, it was right before I came here actually. I was like, ah. I don't know. I'll be doing this for like an hour and a half. But it's just, yeah, it's very visually cool. And the world really does just feel like it's alive. Whether you're playing or not, the world's just ticking on. Everyone's doing their thing. Mm. So the story is, from what I've gathered so far, is you're part of a fleet from the new world. No, from the old world,
heading to the new
to
world.
This new world.
To fight this big
because the Elder Dragons, for whatever reason, the Elder Dragons are every... decade or whatever, they go to the old world and no one knows why, so you're there to find out. That's the gist of the story I've got so far. So I've set up a camp, I've done all the so my son's here as well, he's just dicking about. Yeah, so I've set up the camp and all that, and I think I'm at the point where it's like, okay, now let's get this show on the road kind of thing. But it's just so much information to take in. And the UI is very busy, but it's all necessary information at the same time.
Yeah, so like we're talking about this with our buddy Joel about the whole idea of this the Japanese system.
I'm gonna turn the fan around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. With the Japanese system being of like that's tell you everything you need to know, not in like a handhold, like in order to like avoid handholding, but you kind of goes the opposite way. They're like, hey, look, here's every bit of information you need.
You can get into it as soon as possible,
and then you're like, you've given me too much information. It actually hurts me.
Yeah.
So like, I made the horrible decision to stream it full of beer and pills. It was like I was my insides were hurting me. I'm like, I gotta stream this game because you know it comes out in a couple of hours. This is really good. I'm like, I'm gonna have some beers, I have some pain meds, and we'll have a good time. I did have a good time. Cloudy as shit, but I had a good time. I didn't hurt, if that helps.
Yeah.
So like, I remember what I did, but like, it's still like, it's a little bit cloudy,
hazy.
Like,
yeah.
So I think I would have to create my character again, which is fine. Like, but I did make some sweet armor. Like I. Yeah. Like I made this sweet bone armor. Like
yeah.
Big
well, if it helps, it seems like you can't fuck your character up. There's no like skill point.
Yeah.
Allocations.
Apart from the armor upgrades.
No, because you can just make it.
If you just scrap it, you get it back.
Scrap it or go kill some more monsters and you know remake it in the way you want to make it. So it doesn't seem like there's a way you can, quote unquote, stuff your character up and have to start over. And that goes as far as all the weapons as well, because you get a selection of 14 different weapon kits.
And you can fuck
them. You can switch them whenever on the fly. You do need to... You can upgrade them with monster parts.
That's what I've been doing now.
Yeah, and they kind of match... Like, for, I'm using the... It's like a... I don't know what it's called. It's like a staff sword with two blades on each end. Like a blade on each end. I forget what they call it, though. But I'm really enjoying that, because you can... push R2 and X to plant it into the ground and launch yourself up into the air.
Ooh, cool.
Makes it really easy to get onto the back of monsters and start hacking them away. But when you upgrade, like, let's say I'm wearing the Jagra's armor, I can upgrade my weapon with Jagra's parts and it takes on that same aesthetic as well.
Don't you like it when you go to the smithy?
I love it. It did get a bit old when I did craft a whole new set of armor.
Yeah,
I did
like eight things in a row. I'm like, I get it. You're really happy about me.
So you take all the parts you've got from the monsters and what you've gathered in the world to the smithy and, you know, to upgrade, to build new or whatever. And I'm sure you can make your palico, your little cat friend.
Yeah, what's your palico's name?
I forget. I don't give shit about him, really.
I made mine...
Foxy. From, like, Five Nights at Freddy's, because he's red. And he
I made mine Rufus J. Pants.
Yeah,
so
your cat.
My actual cat. I made a perfect replication of my cat, but he has a big bone club.
Yeah. But, yeah, so you take it all to the smithy, and you're like... He's like, what can I get you? And you're like, I want this. He's like, cool. Looks at his boys and Mac's like, hey! And they're like, yeah! Let's do this.
Then it's like,
A lot of personality in the NPCs, I think, as well. I found that even when you go to the canteen, because you can go to the canteen before a mission, get yourself a meal to like boost your stamina, boost your health.
And the cats,
and the cats are like meow, and they're all like getting
the cats are like meow, meow.
So I cooked like this fish dish, and the big cat, like the two little helpers, put it out ready. And the camera pans in on his face. He's got a bit of parsley. He's like, just a lot of personality to them. And I found most of the NPCs to be like that as well. You know,
but something super cool. Like I think the game understands and knows that people are going to be like, it's kind of like Jurassic Park. Because one of the opening the opening things you do is once you land on this island, and then you have to go to Astera.
Yeah.
So
which
like
is the main campsite.
So as you're on your way to Astera, you get surrounded by these Jaguars, like they're raptors.
Yeah.
It's fucking
they're like pacing
it's
around
beautiful.
You
and they're
stuff.
Like, you're like this one, you're like, and then it's like, clever girl. You know what I mean? It's like, there's someone behind you and they swarm you. It's really cool. And then as you're running, it's just like Jurassic Park. So like, as they're running to that last bit to escape, in comes the fucking T-Rex.
Yeah, it's called Astodon. It starts with A.
Asgaroth, whatever it is. Yeah, and it takes, and it's like, and it's throwing them, the rest are jumping on him.
It's like, just run past him.
It's
and
Jurassic
like,
Park. I'm like, this is awesome.
And the whole game is pretty, like, when the first forest, it's multi-layered, so it's not like you're on a plane. There are caves, and you can go into the caves, but they loop back around to this side. You know, it's a very multi-layered world. And I remember chasing Cockle or something. It's like a Dilophosaurus kind of thing, and it picks up like rocks and pegs them at you. And I'm like, oh, got it. It's like, clear the camp, kill this thing because it'll keep coming back and fuck us up. Like, all right, I'm killing it. I'm like, just give me a hard time. And then I happened to like, it ran into the path of the T-Rex. And the T-Rex is like, I got this for you. Help! And killed it. And it's like, mission complete. I'm like, thanks, bro. And it's like, now you. That's got the real Japanese run, like the back arched backwards. Yeah. It's very, very cool.
But speaking of weapons, though, we've gone back to that. So the one I'm using the sword and shield that becomes a giant axe. But I'm finding is I'm using it predominantly as a giant axe. So mm-hmm. I think I might just switch to a giant axe.
Well, you can get the axe sword. No shield, but it goes from a two-hand sword. And you go like Bloodborne, and it goes, and yep. the axe bit comes out of it.
I'm gonna switch to that one, I think.
And then because in the training mode with all the weapons, it shows you all the combos you can do, and it has a combo where you like start with the sword, and then halfway through you flick it to the axe to do a big finish on the combo. Very, very cool.
Because when I'm finding myself not using, because I was hoping to be like bash, 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 shing, thunk, but I'm not quite getting that motion. And I think I might switch to that so I can get a little bit of distance between me and the creature, but enough to cause some fucking damage.
All 14 weapons play so differently to each other that it's pretty much guaranteed you will find one that suits your playstyle. I tried the two-handed sword. I tried the dual wielding. I'd need to be a bit faster, I think, but not much in the way of like evading. So yeah, I ended up settling on, I forget what it's called, this staff with the two blades on the end. That's what I'm really, really enjoying.
I enjoy the combat. In the vein of you can lock on, like, as in it's very like heavy. You're a lot of dodging, a lot of like planning your combos and seeing where you go and like monitoring their movements.
Their next attack they're about to do.
The only problem that I have, which I may be wrong once again, full of pills and booze.
I know what you're gonna say.
Is like you can lock onto the character visually where the camera will lock on, but you don't lock onto the character. No.
And I believe that is because I can confirm that. I looked through the options. I couldn't find a way to lock you onto it. Mm-hmm. I think it's because locking onto an enemy, pretty much that's their hitbox. But in Monster Hunter, you're looking at chopping off limbs. You're looking at hitting them in certain spots to weaken them. So I know some of them you can, you know, if you hit their leg enough, they'll start limping and they're a lot slower.
That shit's real clever. Because I took on a giant Jagras that did exactly that. He's like,
yeah. Exactly, and I'm sure there's somewhere, you know, you can hack off what something that, like, maybe hack off the end of their tail that has a spike on it and they can't attack you with spike tail. Because it's all about you targeting specific areas. And hacking off certain limbs as well gives you certain items you can take for upgrading that you might not get just for killing it. You, like, need to hack off this certain body part. So I think that's why. But I have found it... The combat so far is, very heavy. The biggest obstacle is that you can't dodge halfway through a sword swing. You know how it's like an action cancel when you hit dodge, it's like, I'm going to dodge. You have to finish that attack.
Those things are heavy.
It's heavy, yeah. You can't just pull yourself back. So it makes sense in the scope of the game, but it does really emphasize you need to plan your hits.
And weapon degradation. Not a fan. However, I do like it in this because it's an infinite little thing. It's not like, oh, that sword's done. You're like, all right, cool. Step back from the fight. Sharpen your blade.
The next time you knock them down, you can either spend that time wailing them or use that time to potion up, sharpen your weapon. Because the sharper your weapon is, the more damage it's going to do. I'd imagine that you got the infinite one, but I have also been fishing and I caught a fish
that does it
quicker. It's like one swipe and it's just as sharp, but it doesn't last as long. Imagine there's a lot of different, what are they called? Grinding stones that you can use. But I'd also imagine later in the game, there's probably a way to sharpen them even further so they last longer. But at the start of the game, it is probably multiple times in a boss fight, probably three or four times I need to go fucking sharp. The worst is when you're sharpening it and the creature gets up and starts barreling at you. You're like, the music's okay. No tunes that really grip me so far. Out in the world, it's mostly ambient, I think, because you're with, like how I said, the world is multi-layered.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear of footsteps around you, but you can also hear them if they're above you. You can hear them if you like. You can hear where the monster is in relation to you. So I think that's why they've kept the music very, very minimal out there, because it is all about hearing. I know once I was just running along and I heard footsteps behind me. It's like, turn around, there's a Jagras or what, a jag something. Just like, bah! So yeah, I think that's why the music is quite low. But yeah, in like the main hub, I do like the main hub, the Astera. You know, it's very nice and big. You can do all your things there. And it does really feel like, you know, I'm going on a hunt and I need to prepare. I'm going to go to the smith and upgrade. I'm going to get a feed from the canteen. I'm going to go to my storage, maybe make a few traps. And yeah, it really does feel like I'm prepping for something big here. And it does feel like that when you are fighting the big monsters, because it is a... 15-20 minute affair of, you know, you'll battle in different locations, you'll hurt it, it'll run off.
It'll scurry home.
It'll scurry home, it'll halfway through the battle another monster might join. It's a very dynamic game. And yeah, when you do, what I don't like is when you finish the quest, it's like, all right, 60 seconds and you're out. It's like, no, I need to like carve this and I killed a couple more back there. I want to get there. I feel like I'm in a big rush when I finish the quest and I don't like that at the moment. You get a minute. And yeah, I just feel rushed. Because, you know, finishing the quest, you should be like, whew, like, okay, like, get my bearings for a sec. But no, it's like, quick, carve up your kill and, you know, get ready because you're out.
So I think that's where the expedition mode would be better. Yeah.
So far, all the bosses I've fought through a quest, when I go into expedition mode, they're out there as well. So it's like the quest introduces you to them, and then when you go expedition, they're out in the world. So if you want to farm them, you can.
Yeah.
But they're also in expedition mode. They're not there the whole time. They're... It'll say, you know, it'll say, you know, this creature will be leaving the vicinity in 10 minutes. It's like, well, if I want him, I've got to go kill him. If not, they're gone.
We'll come back.
Yeah, it's come back. But yeah, it's a very, just a very dynamic world. Every time you go out there, you don't quite know what you're going to find, what you're going to run into, what's going to happen, if you're going to come back with nothing or come back with a big jackpot. And I enjoyed just, like, in relation to nothing else, I love the barbecue. Did you find the barbecue?
I did by accident.
Your little spit?
Yeah, I was trying to fight this giant... I was trying to fight the bunch of Jaguars.
Yeah.
And I was like, potion. What the fuck?
So yeah, you just throw this little barbecue out, cook some raw meat that you've got, and you got to stop it at the right time, otherwise it gets burnt. Mm. So the more well you cook it, you know, the better bonus you get. It gives you like a stamina boost or whatever. I found the stamina bar to be unintrusive. It's quite...
I obviously couldn't find it because Eric yelled at me again.
Oh, because you got health and then you got the yellow bar for your stamina and then you got your little degradation thing.
That makes more sense.
But every time I go on a quest, I'll eat some well-done meat that I've... And it pretty much doubles my stamina and I've found it to be enough. I've never really been like, oh, this stamina bar is fucking giving me the shits.
Yeah.
But I haven't tried the social space yet. Like the multi, because the ship you come in on acts as the multiplayer space where you can party up with friends and all that kind of stuff. But I haven't been there yet, but I'm keen to try that out. I found last night, took me aback a bit, is when I just wanted to start my game. So I joined an online session. It's like, I don't want to join it. I want to play offline by myself. And it's like, no, you have to join an online session. Get fucked.
So I was lucky when I played it. The patch for the multiplayer hadn't come out yet. It was like, meh. I'm like, all right, cool.
So I'm like, well, how do I just play offline? No option. I'm like, fine, put me in online. It's like, failed to connect to online server. I just want to play my game.
Like good.
After it fails connecting to online, then it goes, well, we're going to have to put you in offline mode. Cool, that's what I wanted anyway. Just put me in offline mode. So I just found the best option is to go to create an online session.
Your son's about to boot that fan over.
Don't kick it over.
Yeah, thank you. I'm watching. I'm like, ooh.
We're nearly done, bud. But I found the best thing to just create your own online session and then just make it a private game.
Yeah.
If you want to do that. Yeah, it was a bit annoying at first, but I think once I do muck around with other people, I'll be a little bit more open to it. But for now, I'm still getting my bearings. I want to be left alone. You know, let me figure out what I need to do, and then I'm happy to play with other people. And give
so,
it a go.
I've got a couple of questions from the community, and then we'll jump into our wrap up our impressions.
Yeah.
So, Jake Donovan, friend of yours, played Monster Hunter World for about an hour and got the impression it's less, quote, worldly and more instancy. Well, she means about the beta here. Was this just because of the open beta, or am I missing the point? I feel like a more open world theme was going to draw me in more.
So, from what I can tell... it is instancy when you're on a quest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, this is the part of the world you need to be in. You hunt the monster, finish the quest, and you're home. That's what we were saying. The expedition mode gives you just free reign in the world. I don't know if it was in the beta. I don't think it was.
Beta was instance. It was like this monster. Because the easy mission was the giant jaguar, the first one you take on.
Yeah.
It's exactly identically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you go into expedition mode, you get a couple missions in where you can just explore the world. Now, I don't know if that... Because from what I know, there's four main zones. You got the forest, there's a desert, there's a snowy place. I don't know if they're all interlocked when you're in expedition mode or if you can be in the forest... Or then you need to fast travel to the desert or whatever.
Mm.
But yeah, expedition mode is just free. It is free roam, not instanced at all. So it might be free roam for that. More of a sandbox, I guess. You got this part of the world, the big forest. Go fuck around in that for a while. But if you want to go to the desert, you might need to go back to camp and fast travel to the desert. So I'd probably put it more sandboxy than open world. But yeah, it does definitely give you the opportunity just to free roam as long as you want in the area as big as you want.
And James Waters asked the question, is Monster Hunter World too complex for a casual player, such as someone who has two jobs and a uni degree on the fly?
Yes and no. I mean, after the initial 2 hours, like I think I said before, I'm finding I'm enjoying it more the more I play it. The first 90 minutes, it was real rough. Really rough. I didn't know what was happening. Too much information. Until I got to the point where it's like, okay, you can do your own thing now. And it's like, oh, fuck. You take a breather. Then you can explore what you want to look at. You can start to take your time to figure things out. It really depends what you want out of it, because I don't know how long the story is. I think the most fun will be just doing hunts with your friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could probably carry you.
You can do squads of four. So, James, you're welcome to join us.
Yeah. Just keep in mind, it is the first hour and a half, it is a whole lot of info to take in. But after that point, it does get very enjoyable once you get a bit more comfortable.
And I think someone that is juggling all those different things, I think will have the advantage of, all right, I'm going to go tackle this one beast. As in, you can go, all right, cool, we'll go do this one thing. Cool, hunt successful, bounce.
Yeah.
Right, you can do it that way.
I'm
going to
jump in
well.
And do a hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do a quest, I'll do a bounty, whatever.
Yeah. And I think that is the advantage of anyway. But anyway, that's our first impressions of Monster Hunter World and Shadow of the Colossus. Leave your comments, bro. Let us know what you're thinking and what you're enjoying about Monster Hunter World and what you're anticipating about Shadow of the Colossus. But anyways, that game's out. Shadow of the Colossus is about 2 weeks away. What's coming out this week, Josh, in a section we called Coming to the Players?
New releases for the week of January 30th, 2018. Bricks 2, PS4 digital. Cold Iron, PSVR digital. I watched a trailer for this. Looks cool.
Oh, really?
It's like a
VR.
A dueling game. Probably better than 1-2 Switch as well.
Oh, without doubt.
Dissidia Final Fantasy NT, PS4 digital and retail. Mm. EA Sports UFC 3, PS4 digital and retail. A very shredded looking Conor McGregor on the cover.
Yeah, he's a buff looking dude.
He's a handsome man. Feral Fury, PS4 digital. This looks kind of cool.
Yeah. Nowhere near looking game.
Think like Binding of Isaac, but you're a panda soldier with like futuristic weapons and stuff.
Tick.
So yeah, you kind of you go into a room and then you can go left, right, or down, and it's all like procedurally generated. It's like a twin stick shooter in controls. Looks cool.
Yeah,
I might pick that up. Fruticaya 2, PS4 digital. Nightmares from the Deep 3, Davy Jones, PS4 digital.
Ooh.
Out of Ammo, PSVR digital. The Pierhead Arcade, PS4 digital. Railway Empire, woo! PS4 digital and retail. Restless Spirit, PS4 digital. Striker's Edge, PS4 digital. Time Recoil, PS Vita digital. Wolverblade, PS4 digital.
Whole bunch of nothing. So you gotta pick up Monster Hunter World.
Good. Quiet week this week.
Anyways.
I'm thankful. If you enjoy that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube or 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopcultures.com/questions. Gives your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And of course, if you want to show the world your love for the Pop Culturist and get that on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop. You can buy sweet shirts and things and phone cases and whatnot. And as we mentioned, we are on the road to 1,000 subs by February 20. Not too bad. We're getting pretty close. We're in the final stretch.
Yeah.
I said we want to do it, not for the monetization. We just want to schedule videos. Something so simple. Please help us out. Subscribe if you've liked what you've seen and whatnot. I'd like to thank Alex for coming and joining us and sitting in the corner and behaving like a damn champion.
Good man.
Anyways, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And I'm Alex.
And that was For the Players.